So at this time, I'd like to call to order the meeting of Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, roll call, please.
Okay, let's get that thing out here. Okay, Commissioner Jarvis, I am here. Commissioner DeShanto, he is absent. Commissioner Estelle, he's absent. Commissioner Kolek,
present.
You are here. Commissioner Longton,
here.
You are here. Commissioner Pike,
here.
Commissioner Poole,
here.
He's here. Commissioner Saragosa is no longer here, and Chairperson Ms. Lundy.
Here.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Are there any additions or changes needed to the agenda? Okay. We have the minutes to approve from June 27th, 2023. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion made by
Will.
I didn't say a word.
Oh. Commissioner Longton and seconded by Commissioner Poole. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. Minutes are approved. Now we'll ask for comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public?
Nope.
Okay. We will move on to public hearings and applications, of which there are none. So that brings us to old business, item 8A, which is 23 Site 5, 2040 Route 32, parcel ID 103/001/01A, Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Hassan Hussein, LLC, for commercial development of proposed gasoline convenience store facility and associated site improvements. The application was submitted on April 21st, 2023. Date of receipt was April 25th, and a decision was required by June 29th. However, it was postponed from the June 27th meeting with a 30-day extension granted. Liz, what would you like us to know about this?
Okay, for the record, Liz Burdick, Director of Land Use and Development. This is for 2040 Route 32. And as you know, it's been on your agenda for some time. And unfortunately, the plan is still not where it needs to be. I'm having a meeting with all the principals next Thursday. This can't be revised to meet all staff requirements. It'll probably be withdrawn and resubmitted. However, I'm hopeful that we can get all the details worked out. We do have, for the record, an email from Harry Heller to Liz Burdick dated today. Good morning, Liz. The above-referenced applicant hereby grants an extension of the statutory time period on which Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission is required to act on the above-referenced site plan application for the maximum period allowed by the Connecticut General Statutes 8-7-D. The applicant further requests the agenda item concerning this matter on the July 25th, 2023 meeting agenda be tabled to the August 23rd, 2023 regular meeting, Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission, to allow the applicant's engineering consultants additional time to address staff review comments. So my recommendation is that you postpone this application, acknowledging that the applicant has granted the commission an extension of time to make the
Thank you. Any questions for Liz? Okay. Is there a motion to postpone the meeting until August 22nd?
I'll make a motion to postpone it until that date.
Second motion.
Okay. So Commissioners Desjardins and Commissioner Longton. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Item 8B is 23 Site 7, 69 Fitch Hill Road, parcel ID 062-036-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Andrew Petrowski for site development with multiple warehouse office spaces. The application was submitted June 5th and received June 27th with a decision required by August 30th, 2023. It was postponed from the June 27th meeting.
Thank you. Again, I have a request to postpone this application. For the record, I received a letter from Greensite Design LLC dated today, Town of Montville, Planning and Zoning, 310 Norwich to London Turnpike, Montville, Connecticut, regarding site plan 69 Fitch Hill Road. A&B excavation and application has been submitted for site plan application for 69 Fitch Hill Road. This time we are requesting that the project be continued to the next meeting. There's no extension of time that needs to be granted to the commission because the decision required date is August 30th. Mm-hmm. So we're okay. This set of plans is almost there. There's still a few details that need to be worked out and some things that have to be moved around. So my recommendation is that you postpone this to your August meeting.
Thank you, Liz. Any questions? There are motion to postpone.
I'll make a motion to postpone to the August meeting, as said.
Second.
Okay, Commissioners Desjardins and Poole. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Item 8C is 23 Site 8, 669 Route 163, parcel ID 038-056-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner is the Town of Montville. The applicant is VCP Montville LLC for the proposed site development of a 600 kilowatt AC mounted, ground-mounted solar array. The application was submitted June 7th and received June 27th. A decision is required by August 30th, and it was postponed from our last meeting on June 27th. Liz, what should we know?
Yeah, so I'm going to just go through my memo. A representative of the applicant, James Wakanowicz, is here. He's going to give you a formal presentation of the proposed solar array, but this is a proposal to construct a solar array on the top of the landfill at the transfer station property. This project is before you because it's not large enough to be approved by the siting council. So if it's not large enough to be approved by the siting council, it needs to be approved as a site plan application by this commission. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. The town has leased top of the landfill to Verigy to build this solar array. So just wanted to give you the facts on that.
Here, let's find that.
I'm just going to go through a few things and then I'll let James take over. The application does have regulated activities and the Wetlands Commission approved them on July 20th last week. So that approval's out of the way. So we're not waiting on the Wetlands Commission. Uncas Health District, if you referred to them, they had no comments. Town engineers' comments dated 7/24/23. Outstanding comments were addressed. Fire marshal, see verbal comments dated 6/23, no comments. Building department, see comments dated 6/21, NA. WPCA had comments dated 6/12, no concerns. The assistant planner has some outstanding comments dated 7/21/23. They're minor in nature, and as I go further in my report, you'll see my recommendation on that. There's deep permits that are required for this project, Connecticut Stormwater Construction General Permit and Landfill Destruction Authorization, and we would ask that the applicant submit copies of those to us before we start work. Soil erosion and sediment control bond estimate in the amount of $26,500, which was reviewed and approved by the town engineer. The applicant addressed all of my comments in my memo dated 7/12/23. For the most part, the applicant's addressed all of our comments. As always, if you choose to put forth a favorable approval, I can even suggest a motion. And
you know, as always, if an application is denied, you have to give your reasons for denying. So that being said, I'm going to turn it over to the solar expert, which is, you know, not me, but I'm going to let him, I'm going to turn it over to James and let him give you a summary of the project.
Thank you, Liz. Good evening. Again, my name is James Sirkanowitz. I'm the manager of permitting for Verigy Solar, relocated in West Hartford, Connecticut. This is one of actually three landfill projects we are actively working on. We're also working with the town of Deep River and with the city of Middletown. So this is they're all very similar in nature. In this particular instance for the town of Montville, as Liz mentioned, we have minor disruption in the upland review area that was approved, and that is simply for an underground trench to make the final service connection to the Eversource grid. Other than this portion, everything else will be surface mounted because of the nature of the capped landfill. We cannot excavate. We must preserve the existing soil layers that have capped the landfill. So for that reason, the array that you see is constructed on what's called a ballasted system. So we will, they're essentially large concrete blocks, and then the steel structure that the panels will bolt to will be anchored into those concrete blocks. Those get placed on the prepared surface. Right now, the actual landfill is a little bit overgrown with some brush and whatnot. So the first thing will be to install the silt sock, not a silt fence, because, again, we cannot penetrate the cap. So a silt sock barrier will be placed, and the vegetation will be removed, but the area will be stabilized. And the area below the panels where the concrete blocks are set will have gravel placed to make sure that they are stabilized correctly. This is the layout of the panels. There will be a perimeter fence around them. The existing access drive that currently leads to the top is overgrown and washed out in a couple of places. So we will perform any work necessary to first clear vegetation so we can get a clear, unobstructed path up. And then wherever there is any kind of washout or the road is not stabilized enough, we'll simply place down some additional gravel to stabilize the surface that is there. Again, we will make sure that this is fully fenced and enclosed with a gate at the top. If necessary, we can also place a gate at the bottom. During construction, there will be, of course, a temporary construction entrance, your typical anti-tracking pad, in addition to, again, the silt barrier that gets placed around the perimeter. There will be a pad placed at the top at the turnaround, and that will be where the transformer and some of the other equipment, such as the inverters, will be placed, any other associated disconnect switches. And again, from here, the conduit, the electrical conduit, will be surface mounted in what's called a cable tray or simply in conduits, and it will be only be when we get down to here to the existing road that accesses the transfer in the back that we will then go with a typical trench where we'll cut the road, trench, put in the conduit, and then restore the road to its previous condition, same as the trench again in the area just adjacent to the drive until we reach the utility pole that we will be installing with a disconnect switch. And from there, there are two additional poles that will be installed by Eversource for the metering and for what's called the recloser, and then ultimately connecting to the Eversource grid at this point. That largely encompasses my presentation. If there's any details you'd like me to go into further, by all means.
I have one more comment with regards to, and this might be in all of your minds, is one thing that we have agreed to coordinate with Verigy is that the work is going to be done in the transfer station. That type of trench work is closed. So it's not going to, we have looked at making sure there's no or minimal disruption with the transfer station and that. It won't be impacted. It won't have to be closed at any time to do this. So John Carlson, Verigy, once they have a pre-construction meeting, the zoning officer will have a pre-construction meeting. John will be brought in. There'll be certain periods of time that they'll be doing more on this. So just so you know that, we have coordinated with John Carlson on this the whole time.
Sir, thank you for that, Liz. Yes, of course, during construction, and then once the facility is constructed, we will be owning and maintaining this. We are leasing the land from the town, and so we will maintain the existing array. We shouldn't, other than routine maintenance to keep the vegetation down, there shouldn't be more, check on We will be able to remotely monitor the system. If there's any panel replacement, obviously, necessary, or any equipment that needs to be maintained, we will obviously access it there through that. There will be a note, a sign letting anyone at the facility know who to contact in the event of an emergency or any kind of maintenance being necessary. And other than that, you know, again, the town will be benefiting from this. There are some existing, I want to note that there are some existing gravel piles and some materials that were deposited on top of the CAP landfill during the operation. We will be removing those materials, again, because that was not part of the original CAP, and we'll be maintaining the topography below them. So, again, we're not doing any heavy earthwork. We're simply removing those deposited materials and keeping the existing topography that was up there, and that's what this array will be placed upon.
Those materials will basically, you know, put them by the Public Works Department because
for the public.
Why not? Right. It basically, it was just a storage area for some of their excess material.
Commissioner Kobluk?
The existing gravel that's up there, wouldn't that be prudent to use that to repair the roads?
Our sub-consultant Weston and Sampson did have some sampling done of the materials up there, and they do believe that the gravel material up there can be reused on site, either for, yes, maintenance or repair of the road, or for perhaps the gravel that we have to place below the array. So we do feel confident we can reuse that material, yes.
And how much do these panels weigh, like each section of panels?
Ooh, that's a question I'm unfortunately not qualified to answer.
My concern is only the... over time, what's underneath is going to decompose and settle and sink. And
understood. We do perform geotechnical analysis as far as the material that was placed on there for the cap, and that's why the gravel is placed on there, and that is to disperse. So you're not going to get point loading of these blocks. It does disperse, and you're not going to get any settlement above and beyond what you're already getting from the current status of the capped material that is placed over the landfill.
Commissioner
Deschardes? I think there. How many acres total?
30.
Approximately.
I believe it was 30. About 5 acres.
29.09.
Yeah, 30. 30 acres. Called 30.
Yeah, 30 acres. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Meredith's report.
Apologize if
I'm not. Yeah, it's 29.09 acres, 25.5 acres. It was on survey versus GIS, but it's about
29
acres.
That's the size of the entire.
That's the total site.
Oh, yes.
Total site of the parcel.
The lease area is not.
That area, what's about? 10, 15? Approximately?
The lease area, total lease area, I should have brought the lease with me. I don't recall exactly. Do you know, James, the total lease area?
Hang on.
We haven't had that on yet.
We're looking on a little square there.
It's about 3 acres up on the top there.
Yeah.
3 acres?
Okay,
3 acres.
I think we probably had that information, I think, in the wetlands application.
Some parts is all 3 acres?
I believe it's no more than 5 acres. It may even be closer to three. I apologize, I don't have that number right away, right off the top of my head.
Reason this would be expanded?
That may have been in the narrative report.
And I'm going to look in the narrative also because I have some questions. I can give you that information. So I think it's in the stormwater report.
Okay. In the meantime, Commissioner Lockton?
Yes, I share the concern of Commissioner Kobluk. I remember when that site was a hole. We used to go down there, down steep before it became Beetham Mountain. my question is, I could be wrong, but I think there's a state statute for subterranean qualification of a filled-over landfill for construction. I don't see any reference to it in the notes.
We are required to submit for permitting with DEEP for a post-closure landfill use, and we have made that application. So they do permit the construction of solar on top of a capped landfill, provided that you go through all the proper permitting them, and we are going through that permitting.
Could reference to that study be put in here?
If it's not referenced on the plans already, that I certainly would have no objection to referencing the fact that we are making the proper applications to DEEP for post-closure landfill use.
Thank you. Yes.
I want to add, those permits are referenced in the stormwater report because
we took what was in my memo was taken right off of the stormwater. Those two permits are listed in the stormwater, but certainly we could have a note added to the plan to that effect requiring permits.
Yes, we're amenable to that. If in addition to the report, you would like it as well on the plans, that's fine.
Commissioner
Poole,
any questions?
The fence limits are
2.4
acres.
Okay,
2.5
acres. Just under 3.
No,
2.4,
right?
Okay.
No, Sarah.
Public. Commissioner Pike?
So, I got a couple questions. I'm trying to, maybe this is more for the land use director, trying to understand what's the benefit to Montville of this project.
Good question.
What exactly is our benefit here?
Well, I wasn't involved in any of these negotiations. This happened before me or while I was here, and nobody told me. But the property's being leased to Verigen. So instead of like buying back electricity, and I don't know all the details, there's the lease of the property. I certainly can go grab a copy of the lease. But that was approved by the town council and signed by the mayor. I wasn't involved in any of that negotiation process. So, but the town will be getting monthly payments for 20 years. Based on the lease agreement that the town has, I'm pretty sure it's on file in the town clerk's office. I do have a copy in my office. I did not bring it with me, but I have one.
And what happens after 20 years?
Well, that was one of my questions. It was one of my outstanding comments was I asked ARG to put a project decommissioning removal note on the plan because, you know, what happens at the end of 20 years? And one of my outstanding comments, and I asked this question of James now, is who's the responsible party for that? And I wanted that note to be revised to show the responsible party. Whether it's the town or whether it's per the lease agreement or whether it's Verigen, you know, in 20 years, I'm not going to be here. So I want to put on the plan that who's responsible. So whoever's here 20 years from now and this gets decommissioned, we'll know whose responsibility it is. So that was one of the conditions of the approval. But perhaps you can answer that question.
Sure. We have no objection, again, as well, to that being placed as a note on the plans. But in all of our agreements, as far as I'm aware, we are responsible because we are leasing the land, because we are preparing the land for the use as a solar array at the end of our lease agreement if we do not extend the lease with the town. And it is chosen to that point that the town does not wish to have the array there further. It is our responsibility, yes, to decommission and to remove all the materials and then to restore to the site to its previous condition.
So here's what I find odd about this. So we put a solar farm up at the school. The town did, basically, because the town owned school property. And that is a big benefit because we use that power source. We're not getting any of this power. This is going straight to utility pole to Eversource. So there's no gain for the town here.
The lease payments.
Hang on. So I would think the lease should at least include, or I don't know this, nobody seems to know, that we should at least have the transfer station power. Like, it would make sense to me, since you're running it through, it's a very simple connect to power the transfer station, in my opinion. You know, the compactors, whatever the case may be. And maybe that's a question you can't answer, but I think it's more the land use director's
I mean, again, I mean, because I just want to be clear. I don't want to think that I'm trying not answering your questions.
No, I don't think you probably know. I'm asking the question because
she
can find. Yeah,
right. So within our lease agreement when we negotiate lease agreements, and I'm not part of the financial aspect of our company.
Sure.
I'm a civil engineer by nature.
Yeah.
And I previously worked for Eversource. So what I'm most familiar with is obviously the process of construction of interconnection. With the benefit to the town, there are different incentive programs, and this is part of what's called the NRES BIOL type of setup. There's also NRES netting, where you're connected behind the meter. So there are different financial models for whether or not we are, say, connecting behind an existing meter out there and you're trying to offset usage versus, in this case, it's a new service and a meter that, you know, connects to the grid and does record all the generation that's going back to the grid. And that does get attributed to other places via that NRES by-all. It's called an NRES by-all versus the NRES netting is one where you're connecting me on a meter.
Right, so, but the feed is going directly to Eversource. It doesn't stop anywhere on our property. That's my point.
That is correct. That is why the lease agreement, if the town is getting the benefit of the generation, then maybe the lease payments would be us. So the lease payments, again.
I think we're going to find out all together here.
Right. And again, that's where I'm not a financial person, so right. I don't want to misspeak. But I know that typically when the generation is going back to the grid and not necessarily either connecting behind a town meter or being attributed to town accounts via virtual net metering, then you typically the lease payments are much higher. So say the generation being sent back to the grid through this meter, if it was being virtually net metered where that generation is being attributed to town accounts and you're getting the benefit that way, the lease payments would be lower. So in an arrangement such as this, assuming that's what it is, that the generation is not going to a town account, then the lease payments are much higher to balance that.
I guess we're going to find out. While she's looking that up,
I have.
Who maintains the access road?
Well, we will need to be able to go up there to maintain the vegetation below. So
right, who maintains the road? Is the town responsible to maintain that access road, or you? Is that in the lease who maintains that road? Because I don't want Public Works to have to go up there and grade it.
Fixing it now.
Well, we're going to be improving to a better condition than it currently is, because currently it's overgrown with vegetation.
I understand that, but
yes.
Who maintains the road? That's what I'm trying to find. Who plows the road? Who takes care of that road?
5, 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, during the operation of the array, we will have to make sure that we can access it. So we can come to an agreement if it's not already stated in the lease. If it's not already stated in the lease, yes.
Fair enough.
Again, if it's not already stated in the lease, certainly we have no issues with coming to an agreement with the town as far as if it sounds like the public works that operates the transfer station and then property right now, they haven't had a need to go up there. They had it in the past when they were depositing materials up there. So if they have a need to go up there, my guess is they would have kept maintaining plumbing, but they haven't needed to. We have a need to maintain, to obviously continue to access and operate the array. So during the winter, you know, we may not need to access, so we may not be actively plowing it. However, if something breaks and we have to get up there, well, then it's going to be on us, I suppose, to plow it if it's not regularly being plowed already by the operators of the facility.
Because you have some lease answers for us?
So,
thank you.
And again,
you're welcome.
There wasn't a whole party to this, but there's a section in here, section 2.2, access to lease premises. During the development period, landlord may retain possession and use of the lease premises. Tenant, its council, surveyors, the tenant being Verity, vendors, development partners, agents, so on and so forth, shall have full and continuing access to the premises in all parts thereof, as well as to relevant documents and records of landlord as they relate to the title, physical condition, development of the premise upon 48 hours prior notice to landlord, which notice may be given by telephone. Tenant shall use commercially reasonable efforts not to unduly interfere with any business operations of the landlord. Said right of access shall be for the purpose of performing surveying, engineering, environmental tests and studies, test borings, hazardous waste testing, wetlands impacts, physical inspection of the premises, structural reviews, and such other similar investigatory work as tenant shall consider appropriate. Tenant shall make no permanent alterations to the lease premises as part of its investigations and shall repair or restore any disturbed areas to substantially the same condition as existing prior to the testing. Prior to accessing the premises, tenant shall provide landlord with a certificate of liability insurance in the amount of at least $1 million, naming landlord as additional insured. Now, goes on to talk about the basic rent. It goes on to talk about use of premises. Tenant shall have unrestricted right throughout the lease term to construct one or more solar arrays and other improvements on the lease premises and to modify or demolish such solar arrays and improvements from time to time, with or without constructing replacement improvements thereon, all subject to the applicable laws and regulations, but without prior notice or consent by the landlord. Again, you're talking a lot of legalese here. There's a whole section on premises work. And
it gets into disassembly, it gets into you know, restoration of landlord's property, which is the town. If tenant provides prior written consent to landlord to perform any such landlord premises work pursuant to section 4.5, the delivery of solar energy is reduced for any period of time during the performance of such maintenance. There's adverse impact on the performance, and then it gets into, you know, different lease periods. We have made sure in these plans that we have a detailed note section, and in that detailed note section, we have added that the tenant, Verigy, shall provide regular maintenance of the driveway. The driveway right now is in terrible condition. Meredith and I, the first time we walked up to it, I was up to my chest in beads.
Ooh.
I had John go up there with a brush on to get us up there a little easier the next time we were up there. Verigy has agreed, because they're going to need access to it, they're going to bring that road up to, I think it's 10 feet wide, James?
I believe so. We have a.
What they're going to do is they're going to come in, they're going to grade that driveway up, and they're going to put a gravel dust-free surface down. We asked them to do that, and they will be doing that.
3 inches of gravel.
I'm sorry. It's,
they're going to add 3 inches of gravel.
That's
what it says on the plan.
That's, yeah.
The depth of it. Not
surface.
No, I know.
Yes.
3 inches?
There's some.
There's some already there?
There's a, yes.
There.
Didn't know that.
Three,
thank you. Yep,
didn't
know it was a gravel base.
It's been washed out, and there's big puddles and all of that. So, we've also added into those notes that the Verigy will maintain all the vegetation so it can be accessed easily. They will maintain the vegetation around the solar panel. So, sheet C001 that's here on your plan is full of notes. That the town engineer and or I and or the assistant planner have asked the applicant to add, and it speaks to maintenance of this property. And certainly it shows the maintenance of the road. We can add more notes in the ENS control plan, because the ENS control notes, we've asked for a couple of minor updates that can be done after approval as conditions of approval, and we can add those in as well. But there is notes in there about regular maintenance of the road and the premises.
By the tenant.
Yes.
Specifically by the tenant.
Yes, we've actually required them also to do third-party monitoring of all the ENS controls by Westman Sampson, which is their engineer for this project. And they are going to do that. They're going to every 14 days. It has to be checked. There's going to be third monitoring, and there's going to be reports to the town. So if I know it's awful hard to read on here, but we've asked them to quote all this in, so there will be third-party monitoring the site, because we don't want there to be a disaster of erosion.
Mm.
This is a capped landfill, and there is a great deal of vegetation that already has is stable, but we want to make sure that the area that these panels are constructing in doesn't cause any excess erosion or any problems with the town's property.
Are we responsible in the lease for the cap itself? So if Virology says, hey, your cap is terrible, it's unstable, we're going to break our lease.
I would say that most likely the Connecticut Department of Environmental Protection would have something to say about that. And James, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Solid Waste Division is going to be carefully monitoring this project because it's on a cap landfill. Again,
if it becomes unstable, Verigy is responsible, or is the town responsible as the leesee to make sure? These are questions I think are super important before
this lease has already been signed. It's already been vetted by the mayor. It's been vetted by a town attorney. I don't know which town attorney.
Sure, but this hasn't been approved. That's why he's here tonight.
No, it hasn't. No.
Right.
No, it hasn't been approved yet. But we, as staff, we have made every effort to make sure that this property will be stabilized, that there will be no issues with it. Other than that, I can't speak to the cap shifting.
So I think language is appropriate. I think language is appropriate, to provide protection to the town, also to the tenant.
Okay.
Some kind of language to talk about if in the event that the cap becomes unstable, to Commissioner Kobielek's point.
It may be in here, I don't
know. It may be in there, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either, right. So I think, so my idea on this is, I'm okay with the idea, but I also think it'd be nice if we tailored it and we could power our transfer station from some of this power right here instead of going right to the grid.
But they've already signed the lease agreement.
So.
How much are we getting?
Help.
You sign a lease agreement without us approving?
Order. We have the lease in front of us. Liz has the lease in front of her. We haven't been through all of it. All of our questions, if not most of them, may be answered
right
in the lease.
Yeah.
So.
I can tell you what the lease payments are.
I don't think that's relevant, the money. I'm concerned about responsibilities and who's on the hook for what. I don't care if it's a dollar or a thousand a month. I don't really care. I'm concerned about where the town, as the person who's leasing this land to them,
is looking for liability.
Is yeah, where what we're that's what I'm concerned about,
yeah,
not the money.
Certainly, I could ask the town engineer, the town attorney, to comment further on how the town is protected with regards to this.
Liz, did you say that the lease has already been signed?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't you think that's a little bit premature since we have not yet approved this?
Well, this I was not involved in this process. This was either before I came back in October 2021, or if it was done while I was here, I was not aware of it. So this was approved by the town council at their meeting. So
I think maybe you and I need to have an offline conversation about how we coordinate with the town to questions and concerns are resolved and addressed before signing a lease or a contract.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
tell
honestly,
them no, see if they come back.
Since I've been here, a lot of things have been. This happened before I was here. This got started before me, so there was no opportunity for me to comment on it at all. I attend most every town council meeting, so I would have heard some discussion about it. If I had had a concern, I could comment it under my department heads, but this was before me. So as far as I know, the lease is signed. I certainly can speak to the mayor. I can speak to our town attorney and ask the town attorney to opine that the town is covered, do there be any issues with the landfill. Other than that, the only thing I can do right now is say that the site plan, as submitted, appears to be okay. Our town engineers thoroughly reviewed this, embedded it. We've had, we've had meetings with Verity's engineers. I can't speak to a lease agreement and liability. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. So if you would like me to have our town attorney provide an opinion on that, I certainly can.
If I may speak?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to assure you, obviously, that we have no benefit to cutting corners on anything here. We're a solar company that is very established here in Connecticut. We put our name on our projects. We own these projects. We maintain them. So I want to assure you one thing for sure. That is, we do not cut corners. We do everything above board. As far as the lease agreement, it is very typical in most, if not all, of our arrangements to have lease agreements signed prior to beginning the permitting process, because obviously we have to put out our own expenses towards development of these projects, survey, testing, engaging engineers, all the permitting procedures beyond obviously just this commission, again, the de-permitting, everything else. So it is very typical to have a signed lease agreement with the landlord, and obviously it's contingent, the project is obviously contingent upon approval of this commission and the other relevant commissions such as wetlands, deep approvals. So
what would happen in the unlikely event that this commission does not approve this site plan?
If you do not approve the site plan, then we are not able to obviously develop the project. So I'm sure that our lease agreement, I'm sure there is language in there about needing to secure permits. I can't control the decision that you make. So if you were to deny us, we would not, I guess, have a right to build this project.
Personally, I'm a little bit upset that the town council signed the lease without the approval of the land use department.
And I can't speak to obviously I can speak to town procedures.
We understand that. We got it. We're not implying anything with you.
Okay.
We're kind of almost talking internally in front of you. Like we're trying to make sure that
And obviously, I'm just trying to just aid anything that I can here.
Yes,
we see this is a partnership. We are a development company. I'm not going to BS you and say we don't do this for free. You know, obviously, if we wouldn't be doing this if there weren't some financial interest in it for us, but there's a financial interest for the town.
I don't think there's anybody here who is against the project.
Okay,
it's our job to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Understood, sir.
And several of us feel like we've been cut out of that.
Well, we represent the people of Montville. And if someone asks us a question, we obviously direct them to the land use department first. But if we sit on a commission and we approve something, we should be informed.
Yeah.
If nothing else, that's all. And I think the chairwoman would agree with that, yes.
We really appreciate the additional context that you gave us regarding the lease and the timing and everything. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think, I just want to be clear here, I think what I'm hearing as a major concern is what happens if there's an unknown shifting of the pile and there's some deterioration, who's responsible for
which is why I wanted to
that's the concern.
Which is why I wanted to see the engineering study referenced in here that the state says it's okay to put this on top of the landfill.
When was the landfill said, okay, we're not gonna use it no more, and when was it capped?
Long time
ago. I don't know, way before you. I think I was in the service still.
So
about 20 years ago?
I know our engineer has researched that. I apologize, I don't know the specific date, but obviously they have researched on loads.
Yeah, because if it was under there, that probably is pretty well
there is a suggested motion. However, I would also entertain a motion to get an opinion from the town attorney or the town engineer, get some of these lease questions resolved, and then have a vote on the application at our next meeting.
Certainly, I can do that, and we can make sure that there's no bed and more notes added to the plan if needed. I will review the lease agreement. I'm not an attorney, but I will review it with Attorney Willis and ask him to provide an opinion as well. And you know, perhaps I can also go back and see some of the minutes from the town council meeting, see if I can.
Oh, that's a good point. When was that lease signed so I can go look at the council meeting?
I got an unsigned copy, to be honest.
Unsigned copy?
I was given an unsigned copy.
Nice job, Meredith.
Exhibit B was dated 12/6/2021. So this would have happened like 2 months after this was already in the motion before I came back.
Before you came back, okay.
So it had to be somewhere around there because this exhibit B is dated December.
Okay.
But certainly I can find out more information.
Thank you. So as I mentioned, we have two options. Well, we have however many options we want. But two of the options that I am presenting are to make a motion as presented in Liz's memo for the record, or a motion to postpone while we have some research conducted.
I recommend that we postpone this item until we have additional research as noted in our minutes.
I second that motion.
Okay. Commissioners Poole and Longton, thank you. Any discussion? Commissioner Kobler.
My only concern is the erosion of the road, being that the typical landfill cap cover is silt. Mm-hmm. When it gets wet, it turns to mud. And then you have additional topsoil on that, which turns to more mud. Where the road is, I believe to avoid the erosion moving forward, that you know apparently there's some pretty bad trenches in there, whatever, that
it's bad shape
has washed out. A riprap swale on the inner and outer portion of the road, riprap swale on the inside, riprap slope on the downside. So as the water comes off, it'll shed it into the riprap, and it won't erode, and the road will stay put where it needs to be.
May I say something?
Yes.
I would just caution. I know, again, I don't want to dismiss that suggestion, but just again, that what's done within the limits of the CAP landfill do have to comply with DEP requirements, and I can't say for certain whether or not that suggestion would or would not, because again, the point of the CAP landfill is that it is an impervious type of soil layer that is intended to prevent that, you know, groundwater and the surface water infiltration. So
I think he's suggesting that they put swales along the driveway, James, not within the fence.
Right, but again, because the drive is on top of the CAP landfill as well, that may not be an option.
So I just don't want
to say yes or no. I'm not saying yes or no to it, but I just want to say that could be a factor in what your suggestion.
If you have to get in there during the winter or in the early spring when the freeze thaw cycle occurs.
Any other discussion? All right, can we do a roll call vote, please?
Okay, and this is on that, okay.
The motion postponed.
Okay, postponed mission. I'm in favor of, Commissioner Discharge in favor of postponing it. He's not here. Commissioner's not here. Commissioner Koblik.
In favor.
In favor of postponing. Commissioner Longton.
Favor of postponing.
Commissioner postponing. Commissioner Pike.
Favor.
Favor of postponing. Commissioner Paul.
In favor.
Commissioner postponing. Sarah Gluth is no longer here. Commissioner London.
In favor.
Favor. Everybody's in favor of postponing until the next meeting until you get all the information.
Motion to postpone passes.
So we'll work on that between now and the next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your presentation.
Yes.
We got all the there. Yeah, it was great.
All right, item 9, new business. We have 23ZC2, that's Zoning Regulation Text Amendment to add Section 21B.1-2, Prohibition, and 21B2.1A-B, Prohibit Retail Cannabis Establishments. The applicant is the Town of Mottville Planning and Zoning Commission. The date of receipt is today, July 25th. There is no decision required by date. Tonight, though, we do need to set a public hearing for August 22nd, 2023.
Yeah. Would you mind if I went over the regulations?
Yes, boss.
Sure.
Is that okay? So at your last meeting, you made a motion to ask staff to put together an application for a proposed zoning regulation amendment to prohibit retail cases. So I spoke with the town attorney, and we kind of went back and forth as to how we should do this, but we felt similar to adding a section for a moratorium, you would add a section called prohibition. So moratorium, it's in the text amendment section of the regulations. 21A was moratorium, okay, and that's where you can place all your moratoriums as needed, okay? Prohibition. So the proposal is to add section 21B. Which is prohibition, and the purpose of the section has been adopted to list uses prohibited in the town of Mottville. Then I'm also asking you know, it's going to be one application, but I'm separating out the sections because we had a little confusion last time. We're adding 21B.2 prohibited uses, and number one under that, the very first one, will be retail cannabis establishment. The first part of it was we defined it. So we define what cannabis is and we define what a cannabis establishment is. And that's directly from the statutes, has to be that way. Then section B says prohibition of retail and hybrid retail cannabis establishments. And it states no building or premises in the town of Mottville shall be used for a retail or hybrid retail cannabis establishment. Number two. Any existing retail or hybrid cannabis establishment may continue to operate and expand in its existing location in compliance with zoning regulations section 10, commercial 1 district, section 17 site plans, and section 18 off-street parking, and any regulations that may apply as may be amended. The reason we want to put that in there is if you're prohibiting retail cannabis establishments in town, you're providing that the existing one that's here can expand, because typically you can't expand non-conforming uses. Okay? Mm.
So we want them, if they want to put an addition on, if they want to make their parking lot bigger, we want to, that section is in there to protect the existing establishment and allow it to expand if it needs to. And that's a way of doing this by specifically stating it in this regulation. So it protects the business that's already here, and but in number one prohibits, once the if the regulation is passed, it will prohibit them except for the existing. Okay. So again, Attorney Willis has reviewed this. He feels it's the appropriate place to put it in the regulations. I agree with him. And certainly now that you have prohibition, you could add number two. Let's say you want to prohibit further things. You can add them into this section of the regulations because now you have a section on prohibition. And I've seen other towns' regulations where they have a section in the front that the following uses are prohibited in the town of. So this is basically, we put it under text amendments, and we've added it into that section. Now what has to happen here, this is a formal application. It needs to be received by you. I would ask that you set a public hearing for it for your August meeting. We have already started the referrals so that we get it referred out to the regional planning agency, Southeastern Connecticut Council of Government.
Yep.
We're referring it out to regional towns as a courtesy. It doesn't have to go to them, but we send it via email or regular mail to towns in the Southeastern Connecticut region, and it'll be posted in the town clerk's office. So notice will be notice the public hearing and all of that stuff. But I would ask that you set it for hearing in August, and then we'll start the whole process of getting it all the legal.
Okay, so
if you're happy with this, you can. If you're not happy with it, there's no time limit on the submission application.
Okay.
If you're not happy with it, you can ask that I change it, or you could set it for, you could just postpone it to the next meeting and then set it for hearing in another month.
Commissioner Longton, do you have a question?
Yes. So section 21A2, number one, definitions. Number three, effective date term. This temporary limited moratorium shall become effective on May 1st, 2023, and remain in effect for 6 months until November 1st. So this would prevent the establishment of any cannabis or place until November 1st.
No, this would supersede that moratorium because now you have specific regulation prohibited. I will ask Attorney Willis if that 21A needs to be revised, but I think it's okay to put it there. One of the reasons the moratorium is there is so that nothing can happen until you look at regulations. So I don't know that it has to be changed because
your it'll expire.
Moratorium doesn't allow it to happen if you're prohibiting it.
Right. Okay, so during the moratorium, yes, nothing can be built.
That's correct.
Nothing until November 1st.
Okay.
So now you've started reviewing those regulations and you've asked that an application be put forward to prohibit it. So that'll be one down off your application. It'll be prohibited. It's everything else is still prohibited until November.
Basically, it just gives us time to examine everything.
Yes. Okay. This is one part of it. You can get this out of the way, and then you can work on looking at all the other cannabis establishments that are allowed by the statutes and decide how you want to regulate them.
Commissioner Poole?
I have two issues, or two thoughts. The last paragraph, B2,
yes.
Any existing, why don't we say the existing?
We can.
Just to say there is only one, we know
it's
it.
It's just typical.
Okay.
It's just typical.
Yeah, it's just typical language.
Any existing, yeah.
If you hear.
One of things any existing, if there's no better business, there are no.
And that would be a
word I ain't gonna go up
in there. Documents such as this, you try not to single out any one specific establishment.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. Right?
You had a second question?
So each of the cannabis establishments has the same definition as the Connecticut General Statutes, something, as may be amended.
Yes.
So we approve this, and we think we're all set because we've already looked at the general statutes and we know what that is. And then they come along and amend it. How do we know? And do we still want to ride on that tail?
Well, we would get notification that it's been updated, that the regulation has been
updated.
We didn't
get a lease. We signed a lease and we didn't get notified.
We would get notified from the state of Connecticut that the regulation has been updated.
We would then get a chance to review it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we would be...
Not before it's passed, but we could change our regulations in response to it.
So if there's a public act that changes any of the statutory, any of the regulations that are statutes that are in place now, if that's changed, then we change our regulations to mirror that. It's as may be amended. I mean,
maybe we don't want it, but
you know, we can't. You know, if we put it on this statute 420 and it gets amended, now you're limiting yourself to the statute period as it is now. So as may be amended, again, typical language for Connecticut general statutes. We're not the lawmakers up there in Hartford, so.
We do, yeah, I did just get, and I will forward it to all of you this week, a summary of all the public acts, and all the laws that were passed in the 2022 session. All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, is there a motion to set a public hearing for August 22nd? So moved. Second. Commissioners DeSchardin and Pike.
Yep.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes. We will have a public hearing on August 22nd at our regular meeting. Item 10 is zoning matters. The zoning enforcement officer report, please.
Meredith Bataluca, Assistant Planner and Interim Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. This month we had 146 inquiries into the office. There were 283 open zoning permits at the beginning of the reporting period. I did 9 zoning compliance with field inspections. I did 14 field inspections for open permits, ENS controls, flag removals. I issued 17 zoning permits, and we currently have open 291 zoning permits. There was one new enforcement action, which has been resolved. There are 12 ongoing enforcement actions, and anything that's been updated for this reporting period is in italics. And there, I closed out 3 zoning enforcement actions. There's 1 wetlands enforcement action that's currently open, and there was 1 application before the Inland Wetlands Commission, which was for the solar project, which was approved at the 7/20/23 meeting, and there are currently no ZBA applications.
Thank you. Right, item 11, land use director report.
Busy as always. Working hard on trying to get the Oxboxel Lofts project off the ground. We're almost there. The Oxboxel Lofts, 42 Pink Row. We actually have had construction meetings, pre-construction meetings. They are putting up their ENS controls, and they plan to start the work on that project as soon as possible. So I'm working out, I'm trying to, town attorney and I are trying to work out the final details with regards to the brownfield. It's a pass-through grant. Dakota Partners has agreed to do all of the paperwork because they asked us to do the grant, and that's what they said they do, so we put an agreement in writing in addition to the DEC agreement to make sure that they follow that direction. The fishing pier finally got the state to sign it. So we have the grant. So I'm really excited about that. I'm meeting with, I'm trying to set up the PO accounts upstairs with our finance department because the funding has to be kept separate.
What's PO?
I'm sorry, purchase order. So what we do is we put a purchase order in and the money's there. So as the invoices come in, we pull off of that purchase order, which has a set amount of money on it. And we have to keep it separate. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge because the fishing pier gets paid by the grant. The The boat homes get paid by the town. Mm-hmm. We have each task listed separately, but we have to make sure we keep everything separate and apart. So that's a great thing. What else is going on? We're really busy. Like Mary told you, all the inquiries that probably I have just as many on my phone that never stops ringing. But we're working on projects and working on future projects with different developers. One thing I did do, and you may have seen an article in the paper that Dan wrote, that we have hired a consultant, EDC Support Services, to work for the town. He will assist the Economic Development Commission, but he also will, you know, basically working on behalf of the town and through our department to put together a strategic plan for economic development. With some money left over in my budget, I thought it was money well spent. Mr. Sandy has an excellent background, and since that article went in, I've already gotten calls from two developers saying, hey, we want to talk to you about building. It's great. Now, one of the things is he just sent me an email on next steps today. I haven't had a chance to go through it yet. One thing Mr. Shanty wants to do, he wants to come to this commission, talk to this commission. He wants to talk to key people about, you know, what they'd like to see for economic development. So I will let you know when he's proposing to come talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing. The Holmes Road project, you might write about that in the paper too. Remember we sent a letter regarding affordable housing development that was in this line.
It got shot down, didn't it?
It was a conceptual plan review. The conceptual plan review was denied. And, I don't know if I read the letter, but I basically said, we support this. We support this kind of housing. We just want to know what impacts will be had to the town of Montville Roads, which are in pretty tough shape in that area, and what impacts will have on, you know, emergency services, because Chesterfield Fire Department is 3 minutes from the site, whereas Flanders Fire Department, I did a Google search, is like 13. So those were questions. I don't think that commission, again, you can go online and you can see the whole meeting. You can read about it. It wasn't just my letter. It was
a lot of opposition.
There was a lot of opposition. There was the planning staff and the line had basically the same questions that I had. And so they have denied the conceptual plan at this time. I feel like they'll do that. And, we'll work with them. So. Other than that, folks, you can see what we've been doing.
Well,
does anyone have any questions for me on anything? Mr. Poole.
Doc? Liz? Is there any action required by this commission from the letter you got from the City of Norwich about the bridge on the Trading Cove Road?
Yeah, well, that's correspondence. Did we get to that part yet?
Not quite yet. But we can discuss it.
Oh, okay.
If you want to get to that part, we can.
No, we can address it then. Yeah. I just didn't see it on here.
Yeah. So we received correspondence. The golf course, the Norwich Golf Authority, is proposing to replace a bridge, which the golf course is partly in Montville, partly in Norwich.
Which bridge is this on? Old Fitch Hill Road or what?
No, the Norwich golf course, the public course.
Yes.
Yeah, but you have to go into through Norwich.
Yeah.
And then you get a golf cart and you go over the river and through the woods over this bridge that's framing. To get up to some of the greens that are on the Montville side. So part of the golf course is Montville, but you have to get through Norwich. And so in order to replace this bridge, it's kind of funny, it needed a wetlands approval from us because the bridge is in Montville. So we had to refer it to Norwich.
Right.
And Norwich now, it's an application, a special permit application for them because we're the town with 500 feet. They're referring back to this, but we've thoroughly vetted the project. Meredith and I have been out there months and months ago. It's a bridge that's being held up by guideway.
So there's no action required on our part?
Mm-hmm. Nothing unless you want me to give them comment. Other than that,
build a bridge.
This is just for our
right.
information.
Build a bridge.
It's a statutory referral for a town within 500 feet.
And I apologize, I didn't see it on the engine.
Oh, no, it's okay. And you know, half the time we get these after they're doing this, we get these, you have to refer to this, but sometimes you get them and the hearings already happened.
Right.
So
Build a bridge, and if they need help, there's an Eagle Scout.
Build a bridge, or whoever's golfing like you, will follow
up. Right.
I know a guy that builds bridges.
So that's it. That's it for correspondence.
Now, one thing, the applicant for 69 Fitchell Road asked me to ask this commission if they would consider a special meeting in August on the 8th. That's entirely up to you guys. And
I personally will be out of town for work.
Oh.
So.
No.
You would just have to wait. No, you would have to wait until the 27th.
Just wait.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. They want to postpone it, they have to wait until
I just wanted to, I said, I told the applicant I would put it forth to you.
Thank
and,
you.
But we'll go from there.
Thank you.
All right. There's no executive session this evening, so with that, I will make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. That's all good.